This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our Prophet ﷺ mentions in a hadith a dream that he has. And in this dream, he speaks to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this dream, our Prophet ﷺ is told by his Lord, قِيلَ لِي يَا مُحَمَّدْ قُلْ تُسْمَعْ وَسَلْ تُعْطَى. He said, it was said to me, O Muhammad, speak and you will be listened to. Ask and you will be given. The Prophet said, قَالَ فَقُلْتُ. He said, I then said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَتَرْكَ الْمُنْكَرَاتِ وَحُبِّ الْمَسَاكِينِ وَأَنْ تَغْفِرَ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِعِبَادِكَ وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةٍ فَتَوَفَّنِي إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا غَيْرُ مَفْتُونَ اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربني وحبا يبلغني حبك. This is an authentic hadith according to the conditions of Bukhari. And in an also authentic narration of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after relaying this story to the companions, saying, I made this dua, he said, إِنَّهَا لَحَقٌّ فَدْرُسُوهَا ثُمَّ تَعَلِّمُوهَا. He said, indeed, this is truth. So study it and learn it. Or study it and teach it. What is truth? The Prophet likely is saying, my dream is true, because the dreams of the prophets are true. The conversation he has with Allah is true. But he tells us to learn this and to study it, meaning the dua that the Prophet ﷺ made. Some say this is the only dua the Prophet tells us specifically, learn this dua, understand it. All the dua of our Prophet ﷺ has meanings. Every one of the dua that is narrated in the sunnah, there is meaning in it. And often the meanings in it connect to one another. For example, when our Prophet ﷺ sought the refuge in Allah from cowardice and stinginess, being a coward and being stingy. And there's a relationship between these two. Right? People tend to be stingy when they're afraid. They tend to be generous when they're not afraid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الشيطان ويعيدكم الفقر, right? ويأمركم بالفحشاء. That indeed Shaytan is commanding you poverty. He is telling you about poverty. He's trying to make you afraid of being poor. Right? So fear makes us stingy. Right? Generosity comes out of security, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is one of the most comprehensive, powerful dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, and we are instructed to learn it and to understand its meanings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins this dua and he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'l al-khayrat. O Allah, I ask you for the ability to do good. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is he asking Allah? He's saying, oh Allah, allow me to do good. And this shows us that the ability to do good can only happen when we have tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing good only happens with the permission of Allah, when Allah gives us the ability to do good. And if Allah doesn't want us to do good, we're not going to be able to do it. The Prophet of Allah, Shu'ayb in the Qur'an, he says, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. He says, my tawfiq, my ability to do this, to call you to Islam, to call you to Allah, only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءُ. He guides whom He wills, and He leaves astray those whom He wills. And we know our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that our hearts are between the fingers of God, يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يُشَاءُ. He will alternate as He wills. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, whenever we do good, we can never see the good that we do as if it is a favor we are giving Allah. Some people do this. Their relationship with Allah, they think it is a transaction. I do this good, you give me this khair. I pray these prayers, you give me this much money in my bank account. We think it's a transaction. But the good you were able to do is only because Allah gave it to you. Only because Allah gave you that ability. Allah says, يُمُنُونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. The people were coming to the Prophet and they were acting like it was a favor to the Prophet that they became Muslim. قُلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather Allah has given you the favor that He guided you to faith. The favor came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this in many subtle places in our religion. For example, the muadhin is giving the adhan. And when he said in the adhan, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, when he tells you come to prayer, what is he telling you to do? He's telling you to do something good. Come do something good. What do we say? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We have no means and no power and no ability without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer has to know this from the beginning. There is no way for us to do good without Allah allowing us to do good. And so we ask Allah, this is the most important kind of dua to make. Why the Prophet is telling us, learn this dua and study it and understand it, is that we have to ask Allah to allow us to do good. إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. Oh Allah, allow us to do good. And al-khayrat is general, so it means all of the good. The good that is in public and the good that is in private. The good that is ibadah, worshipping Allah, praying salah, doing dhikr, making dua. And the dua that is also helping other people, helping the ibad, being in their service, helping them, giving sadaqah, building masajid, teaching students. Allah orders us to do all of the khayrat, the good. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race towards all of these khayrat, all of these good deeds. Because the person who does khair, who does good, is the one who knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay them for it. And if you know that Allah is going to repay you for the good that you do, if this is something deep in your heart, you are completely certain of this. The good that I do now for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur, He is the most appreciative, He will repay me. If you know this, then you wouldn't do good deeds lazily. You would do it with all of your energy and enthusiasm. So Allah tells you, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race towards the good. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. When Allah talks about the prophets, they were racing, competing each other to do the good. Because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to repay you for all that you do. So we are asking Allah, we begin the dua, اللهم نسألك فعل الخيرات. Oh Allah, I'm asking you for the ability to do good. وَتَرْكَ الْمُنْكَرَاتِ. And to abandon all the evil. And munkarat again is general, so the public evil, the private evil. All of the evil, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to stay away from it. And the first helps the second. Why doesn't the dua begin saying, Oh Allah, allow me to abandon evil and to do good? No, it says, allow me to do good and abandon evil. Because the doing of good will help you in abandoning the evil. The more good you do, the more you will surround yourself with other people who are doing good. The more you come to the masjid, the more you surround yourself with people who go to the masjid. The more you are engaged in doing good works, teaching, learning Quran, studying Quran, doing all of these things, you are surrounding yourself with other people who are like-minded. And that will help you stay away from sins. And so the doing of good allows the people to abandon the evil. Strengthens us when it comes to abandoning evil. And in particular, when we do khayrat, khayrat is general. So it includes the public good, but it includes also the private good. Meaning the good that we do when nobody sees us, when nobody is around us. The good that we do that not your friends, not your community, not even your wife, not even your children know that you do this. That kind of good deed that is a secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can protect the servant from many evils. And so that will help the person abandon the evil. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَحُبِّ الْمَسَاكِينَ. So I'm asking you to do good, and I'm asking you to abandon evil, and I'm asking you, حُبِّ الْمَسَاكِينَ, to love the poor. And this is a very beautiful dua when you think about it. Many people in reality hate the poor. We like to think that nobody does, but that's not true. Many cities in the past have done this. They will load up the homeless people in their city, put them on a bus, drive them out to the middle of nowhere, and leave them. Is this not hatred of the poor? It's happened many times in North America. I'm not even talking about other countries, I'm talking about North America here. And our Prophet ﷺ in this dua, what is he teaching us? He's not teaching us to serve the poor, to feed the poor. Of course he tells us to do these things. But he's telling us to love the poor. To ask Allah to allow us to love the poor. In another hadith, our Prophet ﷺ mentions, it's a hadith Qudsi in Sahih Muslim. He says that Allah will say to the servant on the Day of Judgment, Ibn Adam istata'amtuka falam tut'imni. That he will say, Oh son of Adam, I asked you for food, you did not feed me. And the son of Adam will say, قَالَ كَيْفَ أُطْعِمُكَ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, how can I feed you when you are the Lord of the universe? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, استطعمك عبدي فلان فلم تطعمه. My servant so-and-so was asking you for food and you did not feed him. Didn't you realize that had you fed him, you would have found that with me? Meaning the good deed of feeding him, you would have found that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he tells him, Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, I asked you for drink and you did not give me drink. And again he says, Oh Allah, how can I give you drink and you are the Lord of the universe? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, Didn't my servant so-and-so ask you to quench his thirst and you did not give him anything to drink? Didn't you realize had you done that, you would have found its reward with me? And then he says, Ibn Adam, maridtu falam tu'idni. He says, O son of Adam, I was ill, you did not visit me. Again he says, O Allah, how can I visit you? You are the Lord of the universe. He says, didn't you see my servant so-and-so was ill and you did not visit him? And had you visited him, you would have found me with him. Meaning you would have found the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with this person. And subhanAllah, the scholars talk about these three things that are mentioned in the hadith. Because when Allah says, had you fed the hungry, you would have found ذَلِكَ عِنْدِي. You would have found the reward of that with me. When he talked about quenching the thirst of the thirsty, he said again, you would have found the reward of that with me. But when he spoke about al-marid, the one who is sick, he said, لَوَجَدْتَنِي عِنْدَ. You would have found me with him. Now it means you would have found the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah when you went to visit this person. However, why does Allah say you would have found me with him? Why does he give this extra praise for the act of visiting the sick? And the scholars say because the more a person is desperate, the more the difficulty the person is facing, the more the reward of serving them is. So the one who is hungry is suffering, but he can still go out and he can work and he can do things. The thirsty person is suffering, but he can still go out and try to do things. The person who's sick is stuck in his bed. He can't go anywhere. So the reward of serving him and helping him is even more. And this shows us an inverse of what the religion of Allah teaches us versus the cruelty that society often teaches us. That society, the more desperate the person is, the weaker they are, the poorer they are, the more they want to abandon them and ignore them. And our religion tells us, no, the more we have to serve them and help them. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma ahshurni, Allahumma ahini miskinan, wa amitni miskinan, wa ahshurni fi zumrat al-masakin yawm al-qiyamah. Oh Allah, allow me to live poor and die poor and be resurrected amongst those who are poor. Now this doesn't mean that we have to literally be poor and give away all of our money. But it means we have to have a mentality of being poor in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having that poverty mentality in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We are in need of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when the person has that mentality, how can you hate the poor, the people who don't have money? When you feel like you are in need of Allah Azza wa Jalla constantly, then just like they are in need, you feel in need. So how can you have hatred for them? And this should show in the community and in the attitude of the Muslim. Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He taught the companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the companions that if they were invited, Ibn Mas'ud said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that if they were invited to a celebration, خُصَّ بِهِ الْغَنِي وَتُرَكَ فِيهِ الْفَقِيرِ أَمَرَنَا الْحَبِيبِ أَلَّا نَعُودِ. He said that if we were invited to a celebration where it was only for the rich and the poor were excluded from it, he said the Prophet ﷺ told us not to go. The Prophet ﷺ said the worst walima is when the rich are invited and the poor are all not invited. Now ask yourself honestly, can we say we're living up to this hadith in our communities, in our families? Can we say we even know who the poor people are in order to invite them? Can we honestly say that? And so it shows us we're not following what our Prophet ﷺ is teaching us. And Ibn Rajab, he comments on this part of the dua where the Prophet is asking Allah to allow us to love the poor. And he said, because it's easy to love people who have the dunya. The person has money, the person has power, they have status, they have this. So it's easy to love the people who have the dunya. He said, but the person who's miskeen has nothing. So why do you love them? He said, you only love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that love is a pure love for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. He said, this is why the believer should be asking Allah to allow him to love the poor. It is a branch out of your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحُبَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ. And then he says, وَأَن تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي. And that you forgive me and that you show me mercy. Now we asked Allah, the dua is you ask Allah to do good. And you ask Him to abandon evil. And you ask Him to love the poor. And now you're asking Allah for His forgiveness and His mercy. Because even if you did everything good, and you abandoned everything evil, and you had love for the poor, and you served the poor, everything that was said before, you still need Allah's forgiveness, and you still need His mercy. And the believer has to always know that they are lacking in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We know the hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions of a man who worshipped Allah in one narration for 60 years, in another narration for 500 years. That this person worshipped Allah every day and night, lived by himself, a hermit. Woke up in the morning, ibadah. Went to bed, wakes up the next day, ibadah, sujood. 500 years, according to one hadith, he's doing this. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect this man and tell him, udkhul al-jannah bi rahmati. He will tell him, enter paradise because of my mercy. And this person will object. He will say, no, Allah, I worshipped you every day and night for 500 years. I want to enter Jannah bi'amali, because of my good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the angels to bring the mizan, to bring the scale. And on one side of the scale, they will place 500 years of ibadah. And on the other side of the scale, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, put the ni'mah, the blessing of his eyesight. And they will be equal. And that's just the blessing of eyesight, let alone all the other blessings Allah has given him. To hear, to have consciousness, all of this to be placed there. So as soon as the man sees this, he turns to Allah and he says, bal bi rahmatik, rather with your mercy, with your mercy, with your mercy, and Allah will enter him by his mercy. This shows us that all the ibadah we do in this world is not equivalent to the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And the good deeds that we do are a means to attain the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla. They are not equal to his mercy, but they are a means to allow us to attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are asking Allah to do good, but we need his mercy. And the good deeds are to help us attain that mercy. And never will our good deeds be equal to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا غَيْرُ مَفْتُونٍ. O Allah, if you intend a fitna, a trial, then resurrect me, bring me, allow me to die, and bring me back to you while I have not been tested. We'll end here, inshallah, in the second khutbah. We'll continue the rest of the dua. فَأَكُونُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. He says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرُ مَفْتُونٍ. If you intend a fitna for the people, resurrect, bring me back to, allow me to die with me not being tested. First of all, what is fitna? Fitna in the language means burning. يَوْمَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ. The day that they will be upon the fire, يُفْتَنُونَ, they will be burning. But usually we mean it as a test. It is the burning test, the difficulty of being tested and choosing right and wrong. That's fitna. So this dua, the Prophet is saying, oh Allah, if you intend a fitna, let me die rather than being tested. It's easy to choose good when times are easy. It's very difficult to choose good when times are difficult. And the believer, because you love Allah, and because you do not want to lose that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believer should run away from fitna. There's an interesting hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, la tatamannaw liqa' al-adu. O you who believe, don't wish to meet the enemy. Some people say this is a warrior faith. This is a faith, a warmongering faith, a religion that we just want to fight. The Prophet tells you, don't wish to meet the enemy. The believer shouldn't want to meet the enemy. Why? Because what if you met the enemy and you became a coward and you ran away and you showed your back to him? You committed a major sin. So you were tested and you failed. The believer doesn't want to be tested. The Prophet said, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah to protect you instead. وَإِذَا لَقَيْتُمُوهُمْ فَاصْبِرُوا. But if you meet them on the battlefield, then be patient. So if you're on the battlefield, you can't run away. You have to fight. You can't turn your back. If you're on the battlefield, you can't turn away. But you shouldn't want to be in that situation to begin with, because you may fail the test. Likewise, we want Allah's protection from being tested. And the Prophet ﷺ, another point of this, is that the Prophet is saying, oh Allah, allow me to die rather than being tested, rather than falling into fitna, failing the test in a time of fitna. And that's very interesting, because a lot of people think death is evil. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اثنان يكرههما ابن آدم. There are two things the son of Adam hates. وهو خير له. And it is better than him if he knew. He said, الموت والموت خير للمؤمن من الفتنة. He said, death is the first of them, and death is better for the believer than fitna. And the second one is قِلَّةِ المال, is to not have enough money. وَقِلَّةِ المال أَقَلُّ عَلَى الْحِسَابِ. And less money means less reckoning on the Day of Judgment. You are asked less questions. So death can be a gift. And the Prophet is asking Allah to give him death rather than fitna. If the fitna is coming, then give me death. And this shows us how much we love our deen. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would prefer death rather than to lose it. And all of this is connected to fi'l al-khayrat, doing good. Fitna, someone might say, what does fitna have to do with, oh Allah, let me do good? What's the connection between them? The Prophet says in another hadith, badiru bil a'mal as-salih. Do good deeds quickly. قَبْلَ يَأْتِيَكُمْ فِتَنْ كَقِطَعِ اللَّهِ الْمُثْلِمِ. Before fitna comes, that is like pieces of the darkness of the night. In it, the person will wake up a believer and they will go to sleep a disbeliever, or they will wake up a disbeliever and they will go to sleep a believer. And this seems like the time that we are living in today. We see people raised upon Islam, coming to the masjid. Subhanallah, it seems like in one day they fall into kufr. And other people hate Islam, insult the Prophet for years, all of a sudden they become Muslim. We're seeing both. The Prophet says in one version of this hadith, يبيع المرء يبيع أحد يُبِيعُ أَحَدُكُمْ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. You will see one of you will sell their religion for a small offering of the dunya. They get a little bit of the dunya, they'll sell their religion for it. So what is the Prophet in this whole hadith where he's talking about fitna? What does he tell you at the beginning of the hadith? بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحِ. Hurry to do good deeds. What protects us from fitna? The good deeds. Don't wait. Think, tomorrow I'll do good deeds. Tomorrow I'll do good deeds. You don't know if you're going to even be Muslim tomorrow. You know you're Muslim right now. You have Iman right now. Don't take it for granted. Do the good deed right now, and the good deed you do right now, that's going to protect your Islam tomorrow. But the laziness today and tomorrow, only Allah knows if we'll still have Islam. So Allah gave you the gift of Islam today. That's why we're asking Allah to let us do good. Because He gave you this gift today. So use it today. Hurry to do the good deeds today so that it saves us and hopefully our children and our families from evil. The final statement our Prophet ﷺ says, اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحبا يبلغني حبك. Oh Allah, I ask for your love and the love of those whom you love and the love of everything that will bring me to your love. And this conclusion of the dua is really all of the dua. Because everything in this dua has to do with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing good deeds, the good is because Allah loves it. Abandoning evil is because Allah hates the evil. Loving the poor is because this is a branch of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking Allah to protect us from fitna is because we love Allah so much we don't want to fail the test and lose our Islam. Everything has to do with love. So the Prophet concludes it beautifully. Oh Allah, give me your love and the love of those whom you love and the love of anything that will bring me to your love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have His love in our hearts. Ameen.